Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. The advent of our King teaches the fundamental truth that our God is no spectator, nor is his salvation intended for mere spectators. The opposite of a spectator is, of course, a participant. And the difference between the two is profound. The difference between the spectator and the participant is not, however, one of knowledge. Spectators often know much more about an event than those directly involved. Indeed, it is the spectator who finds it easiest to critique the actions of those performing. The difference between a spectator and a participant is also not one of enthusiasm. As we have all no doubt witnessed, the spectators often show more emotion, more zeal, more fervor than the players themselves. The difference between a spectator and a participant is not even one of ability. It is often the case that some of the best performers simply refuse to take part. No, the difference between the spectator and the participant is quite simply one of risk, and perhaps more precisely, the risk of judgment. The spectator risks very little. There is certainly no real danger in watching. The spectator stands at a safe distance so that he can observe, and his observations lead to analysis, evaluation, and finally judgment. Indeed, to take the place of a spectator is to take the place of a judge. To be a participant, on the other hand, is to risk everything. To participate is to put one's own life on the line. The participant risks bodily injury, but even more than that, he submits himself to judgment. To get involved means that one must undergo scrutiny and critique. By taking action, the participant risks his reputation, his status in the community, his honor. Dear friends, the Advent season teaches us that our God is no spectator. The Almighty Father did not create us for his entertainment. He does not choose to remain in the heavens, observing us from a distance. He does not create us to enjoy the spectacle of mankind stumbling about in the darkness, or to merely observe the drama of our conflict with sin, death, and the devil. Our God did not form us from the dust so that he could simply observe and critique and evaluate and judge us like mice in a laboratory. No, the Advent season calls us to confess God as one who desires to participate fully in the humanity that he formed with his own hands. For God's Advent is in flesh and blood, and by such an Advent, our God shows his willingness to risk everything, to put his own life on the line, to submit himself to judgment, to undergo critique, to endure the verdict of humanity. For St. Luke, the advent of the Son of God in the flesh means, therefore, that he has become a sign. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. For St. Luke, signs always invite participation. Thus, when the sign is announced, the shepherds are not content to hear the voice of the angels, but are determined to go to Bethlehem to see the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and to worship at his manger. Simeon likewise sees the infant son of Mary as a sign that will be spoken against, a sign set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. For Simeon, to embrace the Christ child as a sign of Israel's redemption is now to surrender his own life. Indeed, as a true participant in the flesh of Christ, Simeon accepts such a risk with great joy. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Christ's advent is a sign inviting us not only to see him from a distance, but to participate in his flesh, to take part in the narrative of his body, to take our place within the drama of his victory over sin, death, and the devil. Christ is the sign in which all will participate, either by falling or by rising. In our text for today, Jesus now speaks of himself again as a sign greater than Jonah and Solomon, as the only sign given to an evil generation. And as a sign, Jesus knows that he has submitted himself to judgment. Earlier in Luke chapter 11, the evangelist tells us of the different responses to Jesus' action of casting out a demon. Some immediately speak against the sign, claiming that Jesus casts out demons by the prince of demons. Such a response fulfills Simeon's own prophecy. Christ is a sign that will indeed be spoken against. However, then St. Luke tells of others who respond differently. Most of the crowds, it seems, seek a sign from heaven in order to test him. Such people did not repudiate Jesus' miracles. They wanted more. They wanted signs from heaven. While the religious leaders set themselves in opposition to Jesus, the crowds preferred to remain neutral observers. These crowds found Jesus entertaining, a novel distraction from daily existence. The crowds were content to be spectators, neither hot nor cold, neither for Jesus nor against him. They stood on the sidelines, watching the spectacle of Jesus' dramatic conflict with his opponents. And taking the place of spectators, the crowds gladly assumed the task of evaluation and critique and judgment. Indeed, St. Luke in our text even subtly suggests that these crowds were taking the place of the devil himself. For they sought signs in order to test Jesus, in order to tempt him, in order to probe and evaluate him. And so the crowds are the evil generation, the generation of spectators against whom Jesus speaks in our text. Such spectators desire to stay at a safe distance. They will not get involved. They will not take sides. They will neither stand in Jesus' way nor take up their cross and follow. They are content to have the demon cast out of the house of their own flesh, but they will not fill their flesh with the Holy Spirit. And so it is to these crowds that Jesus had given fair warning. The demon that has been cast out is bound to return, and finding the house empty, he will make a dwelling there with seven more spirits. And the last state of that man shall be worse than the first. These crowds will hear the word of God, but they will not keep it. They see the signs, but they will not participate. They will not risk their lives. They will not submit themselves to judgment. And because they are afraid to fall with Christ, they will not rise with him. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Our Lord's crucified and risen body remains a sign for us. Indeed, it is the only sign given to this evil generation. A sign greater than Jonah and Solomon, the sign that invites our participation. Indeed, when Jonah appeared in Nineveh and preached for 3 days concerning the 3-day passion in the belly of the fish, the inhabitants of Nineveh did not remain mere spectators. They participated in Jonah's passion, from the greatest of them to the least. They joined Jonah in the belly of the fish by means of fasting and sackcloth and repentant hearts. And on the 3rd day, they rejoiced in the very same divine mercy that had spewed forth Jonah alive and safe on dry ground. Likewise, the Queen of the South was not content to merely hear the report about Solomon's wisdom, but counted it a great joy to travel from the very ends of the earth, as Jesus says, to partake of his divine wisdom, to make it her own. Dear friends, are we content to be mere spectators? Do we desire to merely enjoy the feasting and the festival and the spectacle of Christmas? Is it not the one greater than Jonah and Solomon who now makes his advent among us? Shall we not go to Bethlehem and worship at his manger? Shall we not take up our cross and follow him? Shall we not fast, put on the garment of repentance? Shall we not gladly join the true Jonah in the depths of the waters? Shall we not kneel with him in the very belly of Sheol? Shall we not be crucified with him that we might enjoy his company in paradise? Yes, dear friends, let us now count it a great joy to fall with Christ that we might also rise with him. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.